It's Monday, November 19th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, the longest running tech podcast. This is show number 818, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our November special for all new and existing GoDaddy customers, $495.com. Use promo code GEEK495 or take 20% off your total order using promo code GO20OFF2. Hey folks, got a great show lined up for you. And I know many of you are probably in cars and heading out on maybe an early vacation, but I got a great show lined up for you. Extra long one so that you can listen to me a lot longer during your commute. But lots to talk about, lots to share. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There's no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I want to encourage you to get yourself right over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all our great content. We've got lots of great writers doing lots of great stuff on a daily basis, putting up tech content for your consumption, your daily consumption, and breaking down technology so that everyone can basically get on with their lives and let us do that heavy lifting. Hey, of course, I want to welcome all of the longtime listeners, viewers to the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of our Ohana. And of course, as it says back here on the dual Skype channel, it says Ohanasaurus, but what Ohana means is family. And being here in Hawaii, I want to welcome you to our family of fans and listeners and viewers. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being subscribed. You'll definitely want to check out the website so that you can get connected up. And really, it's real easy to do so. Once you're over on geeknewscentral.com, you know, basically there's a second column on the website there. There's a place where you can get subscribed to the show. You can listen right there on the website as well. But most importantly, get subscribed. Get subscribed to our newsletter as well. The newsletter will contain all the content that I'm going to cover tonight. And it's sent out. It's an email blast. You don't get a bunch of lengthy conversation, but that is available for you. So you want to make sure you use it and get subscribed to it. Hey, of course, lots going on here. It's just, right here in the week of Thanksgiving here in the United States. And lots of stuff going on. I'm taking a little bit of a downtime and taking it easy today, kind of working like what I would call a half schedule. Instead of putting in like 18 hours, I only put in like 4.5 or 5. So that's actually pretty good for me. And so I'm enjoying a little bit of, for a better word, downtime. So wanted to get the show out tonight, being this is going to be kind of a weird week with most of you probably taking off early on Wednesday for the holidays. Hey, if you want to reach out to the show, it's real easy. All you got to do is via Twitter at Geek News. You can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com, and call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. That's open and available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to leave comments. And I think something come in. I don't think I had time to check it earlier, so I'll definitely get in and take a look at that. And make sure that we didn't miss any comments. We're streaming tonight on live stream and also on Ustream, of course, at live.geeknewscentral.com as well. I've been playing around with the live stream broadcaster. I did a test today for about and ran it at a real high data rate, and it worked. It worked pretty good, but I've got it on a secondary connection tonight, and it keeps complaining to me. I see the little red light over there flashing, saying bandwidth is fluctuating, so hopefully it stays up. If you're watching on live stream, come over to live.geeknewscentral.com or our main website. Want to remind you, of course, we're part of the Tech Podcast Network. Get over to techpodcast.com. Check out all the great shows over there, all family safe for your listening and viewing enjoyment. And we want to thank GoDaddy as well for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. We got some new deals that are just popping. And this one's really a fantastic deal. Something that's been added just today. Something I just put on the website less than an hour ago. So what we're going to make available to you is this special offer where you can get a SSL certificate, standard SSL certificate, for just $4.99 per year. Now, here's the trick. This code I'm going to give you is going to be available through, I guess, the end of December, 499-SSL1. So here's the key. If you know you're going to need a SSL certificate for 5 years, you buy 5 years with it, $4.99. Because after this introductory order, it goes up to its regular price. And I can't always guarantee a good renewal deal on those SSL certificates. But, of course, we still continue to have the $4.95.coms available. That is just an amazing deal. So $4.95.com by using the promo code GEEK495. And of course, 20% off your total order using promo code GO20OFF2. Now, if you get over to GeekNewsCentral.com directly and you scroll down the website, you're going to see GoDaddy promo codes. Click on that link. It's going to load the page that you're seeing right now for those of you that are viewing. And basically at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy, all the promo codes I have available, all that are valid, are listed on this page. There's a variety of different offers there for you to use and to enjoy. I want to encourage you to basically grab some of those codes, mix and match them when you're buying stuff over at GoDaddy.com. Every time you make a purchase, renewal, new product, it helps us keep the lights on here at GNC. And my son has been having fun with his new project. We've been trying to spend at least 10 or 15 minutes each evening kind of going over his new private blog that he has. And so it's you know, a little bit, he's an 8-year-old, so he's learning little by little. And I'm sure by the time, give him a few years, and he'll be teaching me stuff. So that's what I fully expect. But hey, holidays are coming up. Great way to give someone a website and their own domain name for Christmas. That's a perfect gift. That's a gift that really is will last a lifetime. I mean, if you do a pickup like a 10-year commitment, so if you like buy that domain and you do 10 years worth, you know, you don't that'll be locked in, and that I'm sure they'll be much appreciative. And I know I will by using my promo code. It's greatly appreciated as well for your support. All right, let's go ahead and I got a list of stuff tonight. What have I got in my stack here? You guys will notice, actually, let me flip the, bring it back to GNC. You'll notice on the website, there's a new banner on the website, and we're going to be bringing you new offers from B&H. I've been a big fan of B&H for a number of years. I spent a lot of money with them, photo, video, pro audio, you name it. They got it when it comes to cameras and stuff. They're out in New York City, been to their superstore in Manhattan several times. But we'll be sharing with you some B&H specials. And when you basically click on the link through our website and buy a product over there, you're helping us out here at GNC as well. So you see a lot more stuff on the website from B&H. And we look forward to partnering with them and bringing you some cool exclusive deals that you're not going to be able to find on the website otherwise. So if you are a content creator, or if you're just looking for a new video camera or something, we're going to be able to save you a lot of money. So and they're fantastic. This is one of the best outfits I've dealt with in years. And I don't have to worry when I buy online. I know I'm going to get what I'm going to get. And they stand behind it, and they warranty it, and they support it. They're a really great company. What else? Hey, just want to remind you guys, as you're getting on the road, safe driving out there. Be safe. Don't, take your time getting there. We want you to get there and get back and be safe. And, if you indulge in some adult beverages, you know, please give the keys to someone else and let them drive. Hey, been playing with this this new LG phone. And I was actually in a briefing today on it. And if you're due for a phone, especially if you want to pick up an Android phone, I really had talked a lot about the Samsung phone in the past, but after having played with this now for just about a week, maybe not that long, maybe 5 days, this phone is pretty remarkable from a screen quality standpoint. It's amazing. And I think it gives the iPhone 5 a huge run for the money. It's thinner. It's lighter. It's got an amazing processor in it. I just like the feel. The glass feel on the front is pretty incredible. So they've done some cool stuff with this one. They've got some cool features that I got taught about today. I'll be sharing with them as we go down the road. But one thing that I like about this with these four core, these basically it's running on four cores, is that it doesn't lack power when you're running two or three, you know, apps and you got a bunch of stuff going on in the taskbar. Actually, they had like 20 apps running during the demo, and the guy was using the phone just as if it was, you know, had only had one app running. But definitely check out the LG Optimus G. This is a top of the line LG phone. The 13 megapixel camera that's on the back is pretty incredible. It really is. I was pretty shocked on how well it took a picture. And then the camera in the front camera doesn't have as high of megapixel, but the one in the back, 13 megapixel on a cell phone, completely amazing. But I'll have to more talk about that, this phone, as time goes on and I learn more about it and use it and find its little tricks that it has up its sleeve. Okay, we are going to move in into the tech content tonight. I've got a stack of stuff for you, and it's really amazing. Here we are just a few days before Thanksgiving, and there's this much stuff in the news. And it just seems, you know, normally this time of year, I would expect things to be kind of winding down, people taking a little bit of extra time off, no major announcements. But let me load Chrome here and make sure I load the right one. And I actually had to toss a bunch of stuff out tonight. All right, first thing up, I just have to share this. You guys have probably seen it already. I'm a big AC/DC fan. I have probably I think I got every one of their albums. And heard them in a concert back in the day. So, you know, I go way back to the original group. And they're, you know, the AC/DC Back in Black and all those albums are now on iTunes. Finally, they are available on iTunes. And this is, you know, they've been one of the last massive holdouts that really refused until now to sell their catalog. And I think that they, you know, probably have done very well over the years because their music has just held with, you know, just my kids, even my son, you know, they love AC/DC, and probably because I played around here a little bit too loud than I should, much to the detriment of my wife. But it's just one of those albums. You know, another good one that I love is Queen the Game. And you know, just when you grow up with some stuff, it just sticks with you. But it's nice to know that your kids appreciate it too in this day and age. But AC/DC now is available on the iTunes Store. I don't have to buy it. I've already got it in my iPhone already because I ripped it from CD and loaded it. So that is available though for those of you that are fans. All right, there's a great article that is a follow-up to the original one that was written by Mark Cuban on Facebook. And a couple of weeks ago, he basically, maybe it was just a week ago, was blasting Facebook. And he goes into a significant write-up on why he has issues with them. And while they're not walking away from Facebook, they're going to diverge and use other media sites, other social media stuff, Twitter, and a variety of different other platforms. And it's largely because when they post something on their, you know, on their fan page, they're not guaranteed they're going to reach all the fans that are following them. So, you know, this is the thing, this is the issue he has, is that, you know, they want to charge them a huge amount of money. And he also goes into talking about how Facebook has become quite the place where people are spending a huge amount of time. The average person spending 26 minutes a day on Facebook. And that's pretty incredible. If you think about the amount of time that's essentially being wasted. And you know, some of you may not consider it to be a time waster because you're engaging with friends, family members, people that you know. But I have to really keep myself from being, you know, logged in all the time as well, because people always want to chat with me. And oftentimes I have to kind of ignore people, which kind of sucks. It seems rude, but if I talked to everyone that wanted to chat with me, I would be in there for hours. And so, you know, I think he's got a couple of good points here, and I'll have a link up in the show notes on it for you to review. But are you finding yourself being sucked into Facebook and spending hour upon hour and day, maybe day upon day in the Facebook website? Do you leave the link just open? Are you in there 24/7? And I know a lot of people are by looking at people's statuses, but it's pretty incredible, really. Now, to follow this up, Dave Weiner over at scripting.com wrote a post. He says, I hope Mark Cuban reads this. He says, Dave Weiner says, you're right to be appalled that Facebook does not show your updates to all your followers. They are breaking a trust. Dave goes on to say, you promoted Facebook to your customers for free, and not only don't they reciprocate by finding you new followers, they don't even fulfill their side of the deal by showing your updates to people who signed up for them. He says, goes on to say, however, your response to diversify to other social networks is wrong. Why would you think that they would do it any differently than Facebook? What have they agreed to do for you in return? He goes on to say, if you're just using their normal terms of service, they're agreeing to do nothing for you. He says, so basically, Dave is saying, why are you using Twitter? Why are you using Facebook? Why are you using any site? Why don't you use your own? You already have a brand. You already have a website. And so I thought this is kind of an interesting post by Dave. And then Mark Cuban responded. And let's see, did it. Can I get to it? He says, jump down to it. And I moved it by. Okay. So Mark Cuban replies. He says, Dave, you're smart enough to know that there's never ending flow of companies trying to unseat Facebook. We will explore them all. While there's no question that using any software creates a terms of service, he says, business pivot and other obvious risks that isn't a problem. There aren't enough current and future competitors to allow for some level of protection. What I don't agree with is that it's simpler to pull from the internet general population and pull people to your website. He says that's internet 1999. It is far, far easier to go where the people are already at. And I agree with that. You know, it's easier to go where you guys are hanging out already. And that's one of the reasons why I post this show that we're going live on my personal Facebook page. And then when I post the show, it goes up to the Geek News Central page on Facebook, which gets a number of views. I cross-post to Twitter. I send you guys an email. You know, I try to reach you where you are and reminding you that there's a new episode out. Now, iTunes is automatically going to grab the show for you. And I know that tens of thousands of you within about 5 or 6 hours have downloaded the show already, because I see it in our stats. And so I know that a lot of those are automated polls. But also I know that you guys are, you know, have me scheduled into your schedule and are listening because you know when the shows come out on a regular basis. But at the same point, I'm always looking to gain new, you know, listeners and viewers to the show. And it takes a lot of work. It really does. And finding new folks and trying to get their attention, especially since I do an hour and 15 minutes of programming every show. That's a lot to ask people to sit through. And if they're new, you know, if I don't keep them within the first 2 or 3 minutes of the show, they're gone, you know. And it's been making me think recently about changing up some of the tactics on how we start the show, just based on some things I've been reading and seeing in statistics-wise on, you know, you just have a few minutes to capture people today. It's not like it was before when you had, you know, enough time. It is now people make up their opinion pretty quickly about whether or not they're going to listen or watch some content, and we'll go further than, you know, the first 5 minutes of the programming, which really doesn't get into any programming for most shows. So I think that going back to the Facebook thing, I think that Mark is smart to diversify and try to reach his audience multiple places. But even I, when I post something, I'm being asked now, do you want to pay to promote this post? And I'm like, no, I'm not going to pay to promote this post. It's tempting because you want to get your message through, but that doesn't become a sustainable model financially over time. And I hope that you guys are just proactive enough that you'll go look me up on Facebook, look me up on Twitter, and look at the latest post and come to Geek News Central. And I hope we keep you engaged enough to do that. So, you know, let me know. How do you guys find me? You know, how are you guys getting, what's the biggest tipper that there's a new show out? What is the thing that you guys see when you're online to remind you that there's a new episode available? Just drop me an email, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can Twitter me at geeknews. All right, switching gears here. And this is something that annoys me. Even with Google Plus, I take a lot of pictures, and with my camera and with my iPad. And those pictures, some I want to share with the world, some that's no one's doggone business. So it drives me crazy when an app just grabs your photos and starts uploading them. And that's what was happening to me today with this new Android phone. I set it up and with Google Plus, and I took a picture, and boom, it went right to Google Plus. It didn't make it public, but it made it available in the cloud for me to share it. And I'm like, why did it do that? Well, Facebook now is letting iOS users auto-upload their snapshots with PhotoSync. So, you know, Facebook's figured out how to do this auto-uploads, is now testing PhotoSync with a few iOS users. And here's the deal. This could be dangerous, especially if the app is set up wrong and it makes them public. You may take a picture of something that you may not want people to see and made public. And now, it does say that you have to go in and authorize which photos you want posted. But I just don't want them going up in the first place. If I want to send a photo up to Facebook, I'll send it with the menu system and do it through the Facebook app. So Google Plus has a way to shut it off. I was able to get it shut off on Google Plus, so it wasn't automatically sending my new pictures into the cloud. And it's just really incredibly annoying. It really is. And another thing that was annoying on the Facebook app, especially on my iPhone, and I figured out how to turn it off, was I, you know, basically loaded the Facebook app, went into it, was doing something, and all of a sudden, my contact list, which normally has for my phone, let me see how many people are in my contact list, my 300, my 330 contacts that I have legitimately loaded into my phone that are numbers that I call on a regular basis, all of a sudden turned into like 8,000. And I couldn't find nobody. And what it was that Facebook took it upon itself to update my contact page or contact listing in the iPhone. Now, luckily, I didn't have to go in and delete every one of those. I was able to turn that feature off in the Facebook settings. But somehow, Facebook assumed that I wanted everyone that was on my Facebook page to be in my contacts on my phone. And I was like, no, don't do that. You know, there's no reason for me to have the telephone number of, someone that was in a lower grade than I was in high school that just happened to go to the same high school that followed me on Facebook. I don't need that person's telephone number in there. Just adds to the clutter. So anyway, I'm sure within the next few weeks, you're going to see this update to the Facebook app, and you're going to be able to auto-upload your snapshots just be forewarned that it's going to be doing it. And hopefully you have the ability to shut it off. And we'll see where this goes. I should have covered this on the last talk about Dave here a little while ago, but Dave Weiner had another article talking about our news predicament. He said, back in the 90s, I thought blogs would be the antidote for the BS news, but it didn't turn out that way. He says, here's what's happened. One, the early bloggers did deals with investors, so they needed revenue. Mostly, they became marketing channels for companies. For example, I like Ohm Malik, but the only stories GigaOhm covers are ones from big companies and startups and with VC money. Says Ohm is a nice guy, and all the people who work for him are nice people. They have nice jobs too. They also have their jobs to do. But if you look at his conferences, they are marketing venues for the people, events for people who speak. That leads to a certain type of discussion and ignores a lot of other things that require thought and discourse, Same with O'Reilly, TechCrunch, et cetera, et cetera. You can't blame a shark for being a meat eater, but you shouldn't think they're anything other than that. He says it's not just tech. He says Red State, Politico, BuzzFeed, Huffington. He says don't stray off the accepted path or the market won't know what to do with them. The product they sell, campaigns, the ability to shift public opinion so more government money ends up in your bank account or your taxes stay low or you're allowed to warm the earth for free, et cetera, et cetera. Plan B was that users/bloggers would review the company products and we'd just get non-BS product news that way. That worked for a while. Then people started using Twitter and they've been reduced to 140 characters of grunts and snorts. You can't tell the truth in 140 characters. Very little ones. Nothing factually interesting. For that, you need a little elbow room. If that's really going to happen, more people have to write blog posts. He says there are a few product-oriented blogs out there, but not enough for critical mass. Some of them make money, some even a lot. But there isn't enough to read to cover most of what I'm interested in and also stuff I don't know I'm interested in. If we could do more networking on a more regular and systematic basis, that would create incentives for more people to do it and would build flow of independent of Twitter, but blogs work like everything else. Installed leaders don't generally help upstarts. That's right, they don't. Might impact the bottom line. That's right, if you give Geek News Central too much press, all of a sudden TechCrunch is not making so much money. So it goes back to the sharks analogy. It takes some big thinking and betting to see what we're going to starve out, to see that we're going to starve outside Twitter soon. And we'll do better if we invest in each other and in opening doors for newcomers. We're playing the prisoner's dilemma, as we always do. So here's the thing I think is interesting about what Dave has to say in this. He's basically saying, and he goes into his final dialogue here, that bloggers need to do more cooperating. And I had to laugh here because he says, believe me, I'm an expert in how hard it is to get bloggers to cooperate. I've always had a bunch of propositions for them. Only a very few of them have been seriously considered, much less adopted. Usually that happens when I give them my flow to get them to do something. I'm into leveling playing fields. There isn't one now. We're in really bad shape in terms of news distribution. It's going to get worse. We're always in the predicament Benjamin Franklin described at the sign of the Declaration of Independence on July 4, 1776. He says, we must all hang together, or surely we shall all hang separately. He says, if we could get past that, we could really start reinventing the news now. Here's a challenge I run into. And I wanted to go into this in some depth with you guys tonight, was that, herding bloggers and herding podcasters and getting to work together is like herding cats. Everyone's going their own way and doing their own thing and have a mind of their own. And everyone thinks that they can build it on their own. And one of the challenges we've always had with content creators is that they all are independent thinkers and want to do things on their own and really don't play largely well together. And it's one of the challenges we've always had at Tech Podcasts. And even though we're a coalition of sites, there isn't this tight integration as if we were all working together. Now, if we were all relying on each other for a paycheck and where we're all relying on, everyone to pull their load in order to make sure the company moved forward, it would be a very different situation. But instead, you have a bunch of independent, basically content creators that have agreed to work loosely together as a network. And believe me, I have tried every which way to get folks to work together at a much higher level, and it's a much bigger challenge than what you would even imagine. And we've had people leave the network over my trying to cat herd or trying to get people to come together and work closer. People are just not inclined to do so. But he does have a good comment here, is that we have Facebook, we have Twitter, we have all these sites that we all really all love, but are they helping us? Are they really helping any of you that are content creators, bloggers, and so forth? Are they helping Twitter? You know, whose bottom line is getting impacted there? Can we change that? Probably not, because guess what? Everyone's going to go where the latest fads are. And they're going to go and they, you know, going to be one of the cool kids on the block and adopt early. And, you know, I'm as guilty of that as the next person. So I'm not trying to lay out any holier than thou type of declaration here at all. But it is an interesting thing. And I know what, you know, part of Dave's issue is he's not happy with the news, the true news, the CNNs, the Foxes, the MSNBCs, the news and how they actually report and talk about stuff and affect elections and so forth. So, you know, and everyone has an agenda. One of the things that I told someone that took over a job at a conference, I said, one thing you just got to be worried about, I says, everyone that talks to you has got an agenda. And believe me, their agenda is to improve their position in life and get recognition. And it's, you know, they'll kind of do anything to get to where they need to be. And that person took that advice on. And, you know, within a few weeks, he was like, yeah, Todd, everyone's got an agenda. And it's true. So I think what, going back to this post with what Dave has to say here, is how do we as, and it's not, I'm going to kind of shift here, not necessarily as bloggers, but how do us as content creators, how do we coalesce together and drive the bus forward so that, number one, we have more places to distribute the content. Number two, we give you guys more options on being able to get access to it and basically start to do what I thought we'd already done in starting to replace some of the major media stuff. You know, the major media is a big machine. It's a multi-billion dollar business. And, you know, we're down here fighting with bows and arrows yet. So, kind of, you know, what is the way forward? And are you a big thinker? Love to hear your thoughts on this. Geeknews@gmail.com. And of course, the voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. We're getting on to a more fun topic. Apple is now selling stuff on eBay. And it's kind of surprised me, but they're selling refurbished gear on eBay. So if you're looking for a MacBook Pro or an iPad, you know, previous generation one or something that may have been turned in for repair, you go on to eBay, you'll be able to find that. Also, I found it interesting that some guy built himself a script where basically the bot basically buys him random stuff off Amazon. He never has any idea of what he's going to get. So what he did is if you go over to randomshopper.tumblr.com, he basically puts in a keyword and then basically presses go in the system, and he sets the budget limit, let's say $50. And he says go, and then the system goes out and just buys the first thing it finds and has it shipped to him. I'm glad he's got the budget limit set in there, because he could end up with all kinds of weird stuff. But something he doesn't do all the time, but it is just a little experiment he's doing. I'm not into buying stuff in just frivolously. It's got to have a purpose in this day and age. So he must make enough money to be able to afford to do that. But kind of a cool little thing to do anyway, but not to say that I would. All right, how many of you are basically got a lot of gadgets in a backpack or a saddlebag? There's a new bag out, Watershed's Watertight Backpack. It's pretty stylish, but it's watertight. And so if you're looking for a bag that's going to be able to keep your gear dry in bad weather, Watershed Big Creek Backpack. And it's over at drybags.com. And they've been pretty famous for their bags for camping gear and stuff. We've talked about them and seen them at CES in years past. But they sent a press release over and talking about some of their new release stuff. Okay, another Tennessee town is getting a gigabit broadband. Bristol, Tennessee, is basically getting gigabit internet today. It's being rolled out by the Bristol, Tennessee Essential Services, which is a electric provider, and so that's huge. And Tennessee is, you know, becoming quite the state with a lot of you know, high speed internet like that. Got Chattanooga was the first, of course, that rolled out gigabit speeds about 18 months ago. And they relied on its local electricity utility to build the fiber network. And they had a lot of opposition from incumbent broadband providers at the time. But this is big. So Bristol, Tennessee is getting gigabit. No word on pricing, but man, I tell you, makes me jealous. Okay, next article up is over at BetaBeat. And this one here is a good one. Boy, this is really a good one. And there's this guy over on 4chan, 4chan founder Moot. He sent a cease and desist letter to startup Moot.it. Basically, Moot was not happy. The 4chan founder Moot, also known as Chris Poole, was not happy that this Oregon-based startup, Moot.it, just about ready to launch, was using his nickname that he used on their chat service. So they fired off Chris Poole, the guy in 4chan, sent off a had his lawyer write up a very serious cease and desist letter, basically telling them that they should pick a different name for their business. But I didn't know you could trademark a username in a chat system. Well, apparently a lawyer over at Moot.it thought the same thing. So this could prove to be a very interesting move. Basically, the folks over at Moot.it said, listen, back off. We're not changing. And if you try to do this, if you're trying to initiate a frivolous lawsuit, we will fight you and back off and go away. So they are, the return letter was much stronger than the initial cease and desist. But, you know, he's trying to claim his username, his trademark, and he doesn't hold a trademark on it. It's just his username on 4chan. And, so we'll see how this works out. But anyway, quite the headline, and I'm sure we'll see more about this and to see if he wants to react and actually go to war with this company or not. All right, it's shopping time, right? And your email inboxes are already getting hammered with deals coming in, and I'm watching them. I'm watching the deals that are coming in, but it's a huge job to get all this stuff collated together. And luckily, companies with some big staffs have been able to do that. The folks at Gizmodo have a great lineup of sites and companies, and they're adding to them. So if between Office Max, Electronic Expo, Radio Shack, Dell, Walmart, PlayStation, Target, Sears, Kohl's, Costco, Fry's, Microsoft, Acer, Lenovo, Office Depot, Dyson, a list goes on of great deals coming on Black Friday. So they've got a list of all their deals. Now, along with that, The Verge has been doing the same thing. They've been putting out a list, and the way they've been doing it on their website is they've been listing each one independently. So they've got a page that has just the Target stuff. They have a page that has the Office Max offers. So all of these offers and all these special Black Friday deals are going to be in the show notes. So you're going to be able to go in and find as much stuff as I'm finding on all the deals that are being listed. Now, I was looking through some of the flyers already, and if you're looking for a laptop, it's a great time to pick up a laptop. Also, if you're looking to pick up some external hard drives, prices are good again, $99 for 2 terabyte ones. You know, Western Digital is going to have some stuff out. You know, for example, here's some Target deals. They are going to be offering up some discounts on iPad 2. The iPad Nano, they've got some good pricing on Samsung televisions, 32-inch and 50-inch. Cameras, of course, and then gaming, huge on Xbox, Nintendo, and so forth. We've got a short list of stuff that we want to pick up, and we've been searching for some deals, and we've been able to find some already. Staples is another one that's got some great deals. You know, it's nice to find, like, I always look for SD cards this time of year. SanDisk 32-gig Ultra SDHC memory cards for $19.99, normally $80. So that's big. So all the staple deals are available. Microsoft is going to have Black Friday deals as well. So, you know, probably nothing too crazy here unless you can get to one of their few stores they have available. But they do have some markdowns on some Acer products, some Vizio products, markdown on some select Xbox consoles as well. So a few deals there on Friday. Additionally, there is, where did I find that list? There is going to be the Nintendo DSi XL. Looks like it's going to be priced right at $170 on Amazon. The Neo Geo X and the Sony PlayStation Vita, which has a really nice screen, is going to be at for $250 on at Amazon. If money's no object, the Alienware X51 mini gaming desktop is going to be available for $1,200 from Dell. All kinds of laptops as well. But the one thing that they are, another thing that's being promoted is the LG Optimus G. So you're going to, that's going to be on sale this weekend as well. Don't rule this phone out, you know, look it over, you know, and before you make a purchase, it's one of those little hidden gems out there right now. Microsoft Store is going to be open early on for Black Friday. Basically, it's going to start offering deals at 12 a.m. on Thursday. So again, this is, I think you can buy this stuff online as well, not only just in the store. So how many of you just staying home and going to shop from the house? Going to go online and look for deals? I think that's the best way to do it, right? My wife has convinced me that we have to go out Friday, and I'm just... I think I would rather take an ass whipping, to be quite frank. I really do. oh man, just think about it makes me cringe, because it's, you know, it's gonna be a madhouse, long line, people pushing, being weird. It just, no fun. It is not fun shopping at all. And I don't like going shopping in the first place. All right, the FBI, switching gears here, the FBI has arrested a suspect in the JFK iPad mini heist. So they've arrested a suspect in the case involving 3,600 stolen iPad minis. The stolen iPad is now valued at $1.9 million. They were able to track down the suspect when other employees of the airport came forward and said that they knew who had inquired about the shipment. And the guy was asking for a forklift, so not very bright. And so they apprehended the suspect. I guess they were able to recover the stolen iPads. Oh, it's not known yet whether or not the stolen iPads, two pallets worth, have been recovered. With the wait times they were in New York City, I'm sure they want those back. But at least they've got somebody in custody and it probably shaking them down pretty good. Now, if you are involved in any type of a lawsuit, if you may at some point be asked to give up your Facebook or Twitter password. There's a woman who's suing her employer for sexual harassment. She's been ordered by a judge to provide the court with her social media and email passwords. This procedure was announced by a Colorado federal magistrate. Basically, this gal has been suing the Honey Baked Ham Company. She said her and about 20 other women in charge of the company manager, James Jackman, frequently groped women under supervision and made sexual requests of them. The women say the corporate office failed to take action to stop his behavior after it was reported. Well, what the company's done, in these types of cases, the company corporate lawyers basically start looking into everyone's past and their comments and their motivations and everything else that's going on, and basically say that they have to, they want to look at her Facebook page and her account because they feel there could be some evidence in there that will help their case. So it just goes to show you that, you know, no one wants to get into one of these type of predicaments or have to even have a case go forward where there's been an accusation of sexual harassment. It's not good in any way. But, you know, this lady still has a right to file a lawsuit based on what has happened. But I wonder if she ever thought that this judge would allow them access to her social media stuff. it does make you think a little bit about it, right? But what you say in jest in your Facebook page could and can will be used against you when you're in these types of situations. So they build a profile on you, and it can't be necessarily good for access to your accounts. They need to basically dig dirt. And so don't leave dirt on your accounts. Don't put something in there that could be used against you in later time. Just use common sense. Well, there's all kinds of folks doing crazy stuff these days. There's this guy in Montreal who apparently has been harassing a variety of different websites. And apparently this guy had went to jail over a year ago. Basically, this guy had done all kinds of rants and made a variety of level of threats over sites that were doing a lot of science reporting. And apparently this guy was had been released on parole, but part of his parole, he was not supposed to be online. So he has been taken back into custody for his parole violation. So it makes you, you just wonder. I've never had a true stalker, someone that I was I had one person long time ago back in the BBS days that I was really concerned about and some threats that he had made. But it just comes with the territory. There's all kinds of whack jobs out there that are going to leave comments on your website. And oftentimes they can be a little bit annoying, but if you just put them on ignore mode, oftentimes they'll go away. All right, Facebook is switching to HTTPS by default. So this week, users are going to start seeing a secure browsing being on by default for Facebook. So be aware of that. And probably your browser will not be moving as fast on Facebook because of it. But this is a way that Facebook is trying to keep people's profiles a little more private and, allow for more secure communications going on within Facebook. Activist drone is shot out of the sky for the fourth time. Apparently, there was an animal rights group who had been flying a drone over the top of a private property, a specific hunting club. And when the drone flies over a hunting club and they're over their airspace, hunters do what hunters do. So I guess this is a fourth drone. It costs about $4,000 that these club owners have shot down. First of all, they're not being very smart if they're flying this multicopter low enough to let these guys blast it with a shotgun, because, you don't have to get up a little higher. But this is what happens when they use technology against people and people shoot them. I will shoot them down. So I don't blame these guys. They're over there spying on them, recording stuff, trying to, take them to court. They're not. It's if you're over someone's property and you're not the police, stand by. Oh, boy. So it just makes you wonder, though, at what point, if someone does fly a police drone over a property and they shoot it down, what's going to happen then, probably be marked clearly police, you would hope so. All right. Every once in a while I get big pictures that I can't put on Geek News Central because they're just too big, and scrunching them down does a little good for you as a reader of the website to actually get much use out of them. But there's a site called Huge Pick. It allows you to basically put a picture on a website and not have to. It basically allows you to zoom in and zoom out on it. If you're a blogger, you're going to check this out at hugepick.io. But it allows you to load very large images to your pages without forcing users to download the enormous files. And HugePick works like Google Maps, but for images, you zoom in and zoom out. So it's pretty cool. And so this is available. And again, ability to embed huge pictures on your site. And if that's what you need to do, you can get access to this by going to hugepick.io. U.S. Cellular. I met someone new here that just moved to Hawaii a couple of weeks ago. And he has a U.S. Cellular account. They don't have a U.S. Cellular here in Hawaii. So he's on roaming. And he'd gotten his first bill and was about ready to have a heart attack. So don't use U.S. Cellular outside of your area. Make sure you know what you're going to pay when you're roaming. But U.S. Cellular is now offering an unlimited 4G LTE plan. So this is a pretty good. It's just $40 a month. Customers wishing to tether a device will also be able to do so even if on the unlimited plan with an additional $20 per month charge. So U.S. Cellular is basically making this available for those of you that are in their market. So currently, U.S. Cellular currently has customers in Iowa, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, and they have services in Illinois, Maryland, Missouri, New Hampshire, Oregon, Vermont, Virginia, Washington, and West Virginia. It says by the end of the year, 58% of U.S. Cellular customers will have access to the 4G LTE speeds. And they offer the Samsung Galaxy 3, Samsung Galaxy Note, and the Motorola Electrify M. So they're also offering a $100 instant rebate for some of their smartphones, including the Samsung Galaxy 3. So that's a pretty good deal. $40, unlimited LTE. How many of you are big ESPN fans? You now can watch ESPN on your Xbox Live with split screen viewing and more. So, you know, this is just one of those plays. Xbox probably got a huge amount of money from ESPN to let their content on the Xbox. But you now can basically watch more than ESPN 3 on Xbox 360. This is a full lineup of ESPN programming. So if you've got an Xbox, definitely check that out. It's available for you today. Along with that, one thing I've done, and I'll tell you something here, what I was able to do, let me see if I can find it. This year, when we go to CES, we're going to give each team, and we're going to have three floor teams and a team in the booth. Each team is going to be issued a Virgin Mobile MiFi. And so I've been wanting to buy some of these from Virgin Mobile, but the price was pretty high. And they had a sale on these for $59, I believe. So I was able to pick four of these up for the show. And they're really slick. I activated one of them, been playing with it, doing tests to see how it compares. I know it's running off Sprint, but this is really a great deal for those of you that are looking for, to have data with you on the go. If you travel and you don't travel a lot, this is pretty inexpensive for purchase. So that special is still going on the Virgin Mobile site. So definitely check it out. But this is 3G/4G, unlimited up to 10 gigs for 4G, and then 2 gigs on the 3G side. So as long as you're connected to 4G, you get up to 10 gigs. So I did some streaming experiments with it to see how it would do. We're primarily going to use it for live blogging. And this thing is sufficient. It's got a nice little interface. But the folks over at AT&T have introduced a new MiFi that basically has an LED screen on it and a full menu system. And I think this is just a little bit overkill. And you're not going to get this for $59 for sure. You do if you get it for a 2-year contract. But, I just got the units. And this one's actually made by Sahara Wireless. Got four of these that, for just a little under $250 and no contract. You know, I can turn them on, turn them off when I want. But this MiFi Liberate has got a hotspot with a touchscreen. So definitely check that out. I have that link up in the show notes. One thing, too, that I'm experimenting with and is these things go through batteries. And if I'm going to have these put in people's backpacks, let me show you some of the things I've been experimenting with. This was something I got at CES last year. It's called the My Charge, and this was their prototype edition. They've got a better one now. But so I've been looking at these battery packs, and they come in a whole variety of different sizes. And basically, they go, the higher they go in milliamps or in other battery storage, the more expensive they are. So I bought two more off of Amazon. I got all the way up to 18,000 mAh for just a little over $100. And I got another one for 15,000 mAh for $69 or something like this. Now, this one here is not very high. I think it's like 800 or something like that. But it was able to run the Virgin Mobile MiFi for about 6 hours. I was able to run, you know, and basically 6 hours before this died, another 2 hours. So I probably could have got 8 total hours out of a single charge. So, you know, when we're at in Vegas, the big thing about us is turnaround, because we're not always going to be getting back to the room until late. We may only have 5 or 6 hours to sleep. And what I found was specifically with this My Charge device, took way too long to recharge the battery. I think I had it on the battery about 14 hours. Now, maybe it's because we didn't use this for a full year. It's not conditioned right. And I'll run it down and zero it out again and then charge it up and see how it does. But got to have faster charge time. 3-4 hours max is what I want for a recharge on the battery. So I'll be looking at these ones that are coming in the mail. So I'm kind of curious, are you guys using any recharge batteries? What do you have? And specifically, what I have to have, and the one I bought that I'm real excited about, is one has the ability to set different voltage levels. Because while this uses a regular 5EDC mini USB to charge it, my Livestream broadband box takes 9 volts. And I know that that thing's going to be a pig. So the two of these combined, if I can get 4 hours out of them while teams are on the floor, I'll be pretty happy. But, you know, this stuff, when you go off the wired line and you go on their batteries, man, they just use a lot of juice, much more than a mobile phone does just because of what they're doing. You know, I think a pair of 3 AA batteries on the Livestream broadcaster last about maybe 40 minutes if I'm lucky. So definitely we'll be looking at, you know, basically using these battery backpacks to, or, you know, these batteries to extend the life of all these devices I have. The goal is to live blog the entire time we're at CES, and that, you know, basically want to have all the connection options available to the team. And if we want to do live streaming from the floor, we can as well. So, cool stuff, but just more gadget stuff to buy and to experiment with until you find the right thing. But if you've got a high amperage battery backup pack that does multi-voltage levels, love to hear from you on how you're, what that product is and who you got it from. All right, let me take a shot of water here. All right, the folks from Elgato have come out with ITV. ITV Mobile ships to the United States. And basically, what this is doing is bringing live TV tuning to iOS users. So there hasn't been a lot of attempts to bring the television, true over-the-air television stuff to those of us that have iPads and a variety of different devices. Now, there's been some attempt by on mobile phones. But Elgato is basically shipping a peripheral here, delivering over-the-air US TV to our iPhones and iPads. This new version of the ITV mobile dongle gives iOS devices with 30-pin connectors or an adapter access to live TV stations under the Dial Mobile TV service umbrella, including some local Fox and NBC channels. A free ITV mobile app is part of the parcel of the package with an option to pause live shows. The add-on, it is available for $100. And so here's the deal. If you're looking to cut the cord, this may be another thing to add to your arsenal. And, you basically, if you have this on the iPad, and as long as the ability to use AirPlay exists, this could be very, very cool. But if you want to stream TV, this is maybe an inexpensive proposition for you. Instead of having to put up you still have to put up an antenna, I would think. No, not with that you don't. But with, if you cut the cord, you got to have an antenna, but you have to have a very big one. So I guess I don't know what use this would have for people if you're traveling, but hotels have connection. You know, it's just weird. I think this whole TV mobile, TV and mobile just to me is a little bit of an odd category. There's another company that's coming outside too. Janko recommended the HD Home Run, which he featured in a Cord Cutters episode last year. And the HD Home Run is available for $85 from Amazon. It's far less than a sling box, but essentially HD Home Run is a small box, roughly the size of an Apple TV. You attach an antenna to it and then connect the device to your home router. Inside the HD Home Run are two over-the-air tuners. Both of you use the same antenna for signal. The tuners pull in local broadcast, and then you're able to get access to that via your network and in an app. So far, everyone is pretty happy with that. There's another one called InstaTV in the iTunes App Store that works with this particular system. So I have a link up. If you're looking to disconnect the cable and be a cord cutter, I'll have this available for you, both these articles for you to check out. Time Warner CEO says cord cutting is not an issue. Cords never might be. And that's a new term to me, cords never. So they feel their biggest worry is folks that never, ever connect up to digital cable. Folks like my daughter, who basically her laptop is her television. And she doesn't have a TV subscription. Cost too much. She can get everything she can over the internet. So that's kind of an interesting move. Maybe they're going to, over time, they're not worried about us older folks. They're worried about the younger generation that's not connecting up in the first place. All right, I want to switch gears here. And I want to talk about Windows 8 for a little bit. I loaded Windows 8 on a laptop. And the RT did not give me that I needed to have with Windows 8 to really make a good impression. And so far, where to start? It's weird. It's odd on how it does things. Odd to find all your programs. And it's really disorganized. It's not clean. And I put some stuff up on the desktop, my main stuff, and was able to get access to it. But multitasking across two or three programs is not easy. There's no easy way to switch between things and cut from one and paste to the other. It's really bizarre. For how I use my Windows machine, I do a lot of cut and pasting and moving database stuff back and forth. It's really a bizarre operating system. It really is. And in one hand, as I played with it the other night for a couple of hours, in one hand, I liked it. And then in another hand, I hated it. So, I've never really had this type of a reaction to an operating system before. I thought, that's cool. That's cool. Hate that, hate that, hate that. That's cool, that's cool. Hate that, hate that. And it was seems like that's the way it was all night. And I read a couple of articles over the weekend that kind of people are having the same type of experience that I am. Some things are good, some things are bad. But one thing is for sure is I went looking immediately. Well, not immediately. I tried to play with it for a while. But figure out a way to how to put the start button back on the doggone desktop. And a start button utility has sold tens of thousands of copies, and people are not happy about their start button being missing. And it's a $5 app, and basically it's making it easier for people to get access to stuff. So strips out a bunch of the default Windows 8 stuff. So I'm trying to keep from installing this for the time being. But, boy, I tell you, I really, really need my... It just is not easy to do stuff. It really isn't. And I think Microsoft really blew it by taking the start button out. Now, Microsoft says the sales, well, it's rumored that sales are slow. And they're blaming the OEMs, saying that Windows 8's adoption has been slow because of OEMs. But here's the thing. Windows 8 is designed to be touched. And if you don't have a laptop or desktop that has a touchscreen, the value is diminished immensely. And and until they have all the hardware so you can touch the screen, it's not going to grow real quick, I don't think. But, you know, another thing, too, is who wants to touch your screen all day, especially if you're on a desktop? You know, you get fingerprints all over your desktop. You're going to be cleaning that bad boy 2-3 times a day. It's not like you can rub your phone or your iPad against your shirt to clean the fingerprints off. You got to get some spray and in a rag, and, you know, got to be able to clean it up to get the oil off the screen. But, you know, I don't know. I really have mixed feelings about the whole Windows 8 ecosystem at this point. And I'm going to continue playing with it and see if it grows on me. But I'm sorry. I'm just not I'm not on board. Windows 7's pretty close to perfect. Windows 8 is, you know, maybe they'll get it right at Windows 9. I don't know. But it's not right at the level it is right now. Great article by, switching gears here, great article on Geek News Central by Alan talking about a system crash he had. And basically, one thing that he's figured out from that system crash that the advertisers haven't figured out. So what's going on is he was running Windows 8 release candidate and hadn't upgraded to the full version. And he basically got locked out. Something happened. Some update came in and it jacked him. And he had to rebuild his install. Now, he had all of his stuff in the cloud backed up, so it was no issue. So he was able to pull stuff down. But here's what he says. After visiting the crash plan site and initiating the restore, I began browsing the web. What I found was that every site I visited that utilized Google AdSense was now displaying an ad for crash plan. Yes, they know my location and my browsing history, but what they don't know yet at least is what service, Yes, they know my location and my browser history, but what they don't know yet at least is what service with which I already had an account. So basically, he already had an account with Crash Plan, but they were still advertising to him. He says that is a missing piece in this whole puzzle. Google earns nothing by displaying an ad that is rendered irrelevant because I already have the product or service and no reason to click it. So, he says, how long before the search and advertising giant finds a way to pull in this information as well? It's certainly in their interest to display ads that make you want to click. It will happen at some point, and it will certainly set off alarms for privacy advocates everywhere. But it is really, is it really such a bad thing to see something that is more relevant to you? That is the real question that needs to be debated here. So good article by Alan. And basically saying, hey, I had this, but they're still advertising to me. I don't need it. I've already paid for it. Jen had wrote a great article up about CarBot. It's an RC car you control with your iPhone. Pretty cool stuff. This is going to be on display at CES. We'll definitely have them in and have them demo them off. This is going to be a very hot item. I can absolutely guarantee it. Little mini cars, and you control the speed and direction where they go with your mobile device. That's an article at GNC. Freedom of speech in UK. Andrew has followed up to my discussion on the last show about freedom of speech in the UK and has written a great article. So if you want to go in and basically get Andrew's take on this, being that he lives there, basically you'll get some more insight into some of the commentary I had. This was widely followed. I got a lot of retweets, 45 retweets on the article. So definitely go in and definitely check it out at geeknewscentral.com. It'll be up available for you to review from the show notes as well. Let's see here. moving on to my next topic. Google wants to take on Apple with an open AirPlay alternative. So Google is apparently working on an alternative to Apple's AirPlay. And basically, they're trying to bring device and software vendors on board to provide the industry with an open technology to exchange data between second screens and TV-connected devices. Now, that's something this phone has built in, is the ability to stream from it to a device. And I've got it written down here. It's called, and this is specifically for the LG phone. It's called Miracast. Any of you use a Miracast dongle? Well, apparently this LG phone will take, and you can send this phone's video feed to a Miracast dongle, kind of the same way you do AirPlay. You have to have the dongle on a TV in order for it to work. I haven't investigated it yet, but if any of you have, I'd love to hear your feedback on it. But I think this is a good idea by Google to do an open initiative. AirPlay is so closed and so locked down. I think with Google trying to open it up and open up their own protocol, that could really be a positive thing for everyone that's using a variety of different devices. Being a country boy, anytime I hear about someone modifying a tractor, I have to go look. Ogizmo has an article about a guy that put a Volvo 240 engine in a tractor and then set it loose on unsuspecting fields and roads near his home. This guy's going to kill himself, but I'm just going to have you guys go look at this. I think you're going to get a kick out of it. Now, believe me, I've seen tractors much more souped up than this that are used for in tractor pulls. And it's, for those of you that know what a tractor pull is, well, you've never had a great evening of entertainment, but going to a tractor pull. I haven't been to one in years. But this guy that put this Volvo 240 engine in this tractor, he's having way too much fun. But I'll have the link up in the show notes, and we'll probably read about him being in the news dead sometime from flipping this thing over or crashing it. All right, the RIAA has been hammering Google with DMC takedown notices in advance of the sixth strike stuff that's coming in effect at the end of the month. Basically, they can't sit back and let things rest, but they've been averaging 200,000 and 240,000 URL requests every week. And then it's increased to 463,000 to 666,000 in just the past couple of weeks. So they really ramped it up, and they're trying to get their last licks in here before the six strike program takes effect and they have to go a little longer process to get stuff taken down. So we'll see where this leads, but the RIAA has really ramped things up. Hear about you hear about Oprah? Well, Oprah did a tweet. You know, first of all, if you're going to pay someone to tweet, someone like Oprah Winfrey, you better tell her how to do it specifically, and you better send her the right gear to do this. Here's the tweet. Gotta say, love the Surface. Have bought 12 already for Christmas gifts. Hashtag favorite things. She sent the tweet via her iPad. So Microsoft paid her a huge amount of money to tweet Surface. How much do you think she got paid to tweet that to her followers? I'm sure it wasn't cheap. It probably would have paid sponsorship for this show for a whole year, knowing how much Oprah Winfrey gets. But she says, gotta say, love that Surface. Have bought 12 already for Christmas gifts. Pound favorite things. Yeah, via Twitter for iPad. Surface ads now brought to you by iPad. It's just too funny. It really is. Did she lie? Does that mean people should question all these offers that Oprah makes? Is she basically being paid to promote everything that comes out of her mouth? I would foresee probably a lot of it. So, you know, if you didn't know that already, don't sit there in shock. If you have significant others that are big Oprah fans, share this with her. And maybe next time she recommends a book or a product that you would second guess and ask what's the motivation behind it. But this is just too funny. And I bought 12 already for Christmas gifts. Yeah, if she loved it that much, it had been Twitter from Surface. Okay, switching gears here quite a little bit, and we'll get you down to the end of the show here. The mega upload search warrant was basically forced to be opened up in a court ruling. And basically, the plaintiff that was able to get this opened up has revealed that the mega upload raid did not take into effect, did not take into consideration any of the legitimate users of the site. This is very damning. It really is. The search warrant application did not offer any new facts and most recite what has been written in the indictment. The government describes Mega Upload as nothing more than a place where copyright infringing files are stored, and that is what the judge signed off on. It's striking that none of the release records even mention the legitimate use of the site. In other words, the rights of Megaload Upload's legitimate users were never taken into consideration in this search warrant. Kim.com says, the legitimate use was completely ignored in the seizure warrant application. Almost 50% of the files stored on Mega Upload never had a single download. There was massive non-infringing use. There was massive non-infringing use by those who just wanted to store data in the cloud. So I guess people don't care. Legitimate users don't care about their data that was lost. But the FBI warrant did not take your data into consideration. I think that's a tragedy. It really is. It makes you really sit back and go, as well. Parents, how many times have you told your kids not to download stuff off peer-to-peer? You know that they really listen to us, right? Well, a ruling handled down yesterday, specifically in Germany, represented a blow to right holders in their quest to clamp down on illicit file sharing. The court ruled that parents of a teenager who had made available more than 1,100 songs on file sharing networks could not be held responsible for their son's infringement, nor be required to monitor or hinder his online activities. This story states back to 2007. And so basically, the parents aren't being held responsible. And the computer that this boy had did not belong to his parents. It was his. And so this is big. Now, because the child was a minor, I don't know where that leads into, can they collect money from him or not? But basically, the parents can't be held responsible. This is in Germany, folks. This is not in the United States. So just be aware of that, okay? All right, let's share some final space news before we get out of here today. I've got a picture from Universe Today of Saturn in color, a color composite of Saturn made from raw Cassini images. Was made available. Looks pretty cool. I have a link up in the show notes. Astronomers directly image a distant exoplanet. So a massive Jupiter-sized a planet orbiting a massive star about 170 light years away was imaged, and it just looks like a blob in this picture. But scientists are pretty excited about what they've been able to do on this, and there hasn't been very many exoplanets that have been actually imaged so far, so this is pretty huge. You guys familiar with GOCE, G-O-C-E? And since March of 2009, the European Space Agency Gravity Field Mission called Gravity Field and Steady Circulation Explorer has been orbiting the Earth, and they got their, it's been measuring magnetic variations in the planet, and because they've got more fuel available, the ESA has extended the GOCE life and put it into an even lower orbit, improving the quality of the gravity model. So, they're doing gravity, not... I apologize. So they're measuring the variety of different variances in gravity over the surface of the planet. But the GOSI spacecraft was designed to fly low and has spent most of its mission roughly 500 kilometers below most other Earth-observing missions at altitude of 255 kilometers. And they're going to take this down by 20 kilometers at a rate of about 300 meters per day starting in August. And they're going to continue to try to collect more information and get a better map of the actual gravity levels. There was a Soyuz TMA-05M spacecraft that landed, brought back Expedition 33 Commander Sanut Williams of NASA, flight engineers Akiko Akihiko Hoshide of Japan, and Yuri Malenchenko of Russia. So they all are back safely. So another successful landing of a Soyuz spacecraft. And a couple of good articles talking about the some stuff that NASA's been doing. I'll have those up link in the show notes. And finally tonight, have you ever thought about leaving your job and finding a job where you could telecommute? Well, I read a great article, great blog post by Emily Wilder, who talks about telecommuting and working from all over the world. Pretty exciting post for those of us that basically want to be able at some point to be able to just go and work wherever we want. I think it's pretty exciting that people are able to do that. I'll have that link up in the show notes. Cheer you up over your Thanksgiving holiday. Well, kind of a long show. I'm, for some reason, I'm running out of gas here tonight, so I apologize. But we're going to wrap things up. And let me see what I've got in the email content. What came in? Let's see here. Got an email from Nir. Nir's in Israel. He says, and this is in response to probably my IDF discussion about them tweeting everything. You guys hear that siren? I think it's coming my way. We must have someone in the neighborhood that needs medical help. We had a fire truck go by here yesterday, so I don't know if this is a fire truck or an ambulance. Well, we'll give it just a second for them to get on by. They're not moving very fast. Whoa. Across the street. That's a whole different story. I kind of know what's going on over there. We got a neighbor who's had some challenges, and we have the police and ambulance show up from time to time. All right, so let me talk about this email from Nir. Say, hey, Todd, the IDF has long realized that one of the many fronts we face is world opinion, which is very much against. As a result of the IDF addresses and uses all that the internet offers to spread the truth about the current operation in Gaza. Trying to keep your podcast non-political, there are approximately 70-plus civilians being killed in Syria daily by their own people. At the same time, when Israel goes out to defend itself after 12 years and 12,000 rocket shots against the south of the country, most of the non-Western world is up against us. These same people continue to ignore the Syrian massacres that are going on for almost 2 years now. This is the reason that the IDF is to take this initiative, and you will find IDF on Twitter, Facebook, and elsewhere. In fact, probably little known to your listeners that Israel provides all the utilities, electricity, fuel, food, medication, etc. to Gaza. In fact, even during this current campaign, Israel continues to provide these services in an attempt to ensure that non-combatant civilians are not hurt. This clearly is not really possible as Hamas combatants use the supplies as well. I could go in much more detail, but let's keep this apolitical, Nir. And this is a tough one to keep apolitical no matter what comments are made, because, you know, everyone has an opinion on this. But, I mean, I guess going back, it's just interesting to see the data being put out online. It's, you know, loose lips used to sink ships. Now it's posted on Twitter. Got another email from Nir. He says, hey, Todd. Take it from someone who really understands teenagers well, someone I know and trust well on this subject. There are always teenagers are always three steps ahead of where you think they are. He says, do you have any old mobile phones lying around the house? Do any of his friends have any? Do you have any unused SIM cards lying around the house? Can he buy a prepaid SIM card from AT&T or T-Mobile? He says, these are just a few simple and easy ways that I can think of that simpler than tethering that he did. Good luck with the lockdown. Oh, we've had some challenges here and here with the lockdown. He has been quite innovative, but it came to a head over this weekend. Boy, it did it. So he is digitally declined right now. And as far as, you know, basically he's only 14. He'll be 15. Actually, oh, what is today's date? Tomorrow. He'll be 15 tomorrow. And it's that time where I'm having a little bit of challenge, but it's okay. It goes with the territory of being a parent. But thanks for your email. Got an email here from Tim. He says, hey, Todd, Google's almost finished its Google Map for iOS 6. It's in final testing. I think, did we have that on the last show? I think we did. Yeah, I think we did. So that's it for email. Not too much, but just a couple. But if you got comments on the show, feel free to fire them over. Geeknews@gmail.com. At Twitter is @geeknews. And, of course, the hotline is 619-342-7365. Hey, folks, going to wrap up here. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show. There will be no Thanksgiving show. I'm going to take the day off like the rest of you are and enjoy family and friends. And I'm hoping that we'll have a Saturday morning tech. We'll see how people's schedules are. But I hope that you've enjoyed today's show. It's been my pleasure to bring it to you. Feel free to comment and send stuff in on the show. We appreciate it. Until next time, everyone, take care. We'll see you. And aloha.